Well, good morning. This morning, I'm going to preach on our gospel reading that we just heard, and I'll begin by saying that I really like this passage, and I like it because it is very clear and practical. You know, sometimes you read the words of Jesus and you think, well, I wonder what he means there. That's not the case with our passage today. In our passage, Jesus gathers his disciples and he instructs them on what to do when someone sins against you, when someone betrays you or hurts you. And it shouldn't surprise us that Jesus calls us to reconcile. But more than that, and this is where it gets to the practical nature of the passage, is he gives us the steps on how to do this. He tells us how we can enact our forgiveness of the other person and bring about real healing, healing that relationship that was broken. And so I want to just walk through the passage, and I will forewarn you, this is not the most creative sermon because we are just going to look at what Jesus says. So to that end, why don't you grab your bulletin? This will be it will be good to have the passage in front of you because, again, we're going to just walk through the passage. So Jesus begins this way. I'll read the first verse. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. So a few things to say about this verse. First, this teaching by Jesus is about reconciliation in the church, in the body of Christ. Obviously, in all our relationships, there will be times that we need to reconcile in our families, in our friendships, in the workplace. But again, this teaching is specifically about these relationships in this room, in the church. And we can say, you know, Jesus speaks specifically about us because he is very concerned about reconciliation in the church. And that is because the ministry of the church is the ministry of reconciliation. Right? That's what God is doing in the world through Christ. He is reconciling all things to him. He is bringing us back into relationship with him, bringing us back in relationship with one another in Christ. So our mission, God's mission, is reconciliation. In fact, Jesus tells us our witness to the world is our unity, our oneness, our ability to reconcile. So he wants to make sure that we get this right, that we're doing this. So this is about the church. And of course, there's things that we can apply in our other relationships, but specifically about the church. Now with that, in this verse, he then gives his instructions. And the first instruction he gives is one word. He says, if another member of the church sins against you, go. That's the first instruction, go. Maybe the hardest instruction of the passage. You know, when someone hurts us, We often are willing to reconcile, but we expect them to make the first move. I mean, they caused the problem. They need to initiate the healing process. That's the very least they can do. But Jesus says something different. He says that it is the responsibility of the offended party to begin the reconciliation process. Now that's hard. When someone hurts you or betrays you or sins against you, the last thing you want to do is then begin a process of healing. But that's what he calls us to do. We are responsible to start the process when someone sins against us. And there's some, you know, practical reasons why we do this. As we know, often when we are hurt, the other person is completely unaware I've counseled people who have carried bitterness and resentment for years about something that has happened in the past. And they eventually address it with the person, and the person says, "Oh my gosh, I had no idea. I wish you would had come to me earlier so we could have talked about this." Often people don't know, so we begin the process. And also we know that the worst thing you can do when you've been hurt is to brood on it. That just poisons you. But maybe more importantly, we can say we do this, we begin the reconciliation process, because again, we are people of reconciliation. We've experienced the reconciliation of God in Christ, and we are called to go out and share this reconciliation with others. So that's the first instruction, a hard one. Go. But he describes what it looks like when you go to the person. He says, "Go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone." Right? Do this privately. You might remember the bumper sticker that read, "I don't get mad, I get even." And we know when we're hurt, there's a little part of us that wants to get even. And one way we do this, in a way that doesn't look too vindictive, is we talk about what's happened, right? We quietly share the situation so that everybody knows what this person did to us. We might call this slandering the other person, but we wouldn't do that because we're not the type of people who slander. We're going to call it sharing. It's good to share. It's healthy to share, right? We might call it venting. But whatever it is, whatever we call it, Jesus says, don't do it. Right? Go privately. Because hopefully you can reconcile and the situation doesn't have to become bigger than it needs to be. Now, Jesus knows that this might not work. You go privately, the person may not want to reconcile. And so he continues his advice. He says, "If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. So that's a success. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses." So if you can't do it yourself, if reconciliation isn't happening privately, then get some help, he says. Get one or two people to come with you. And again, this is keeping it small, just one or two people. But these individuals can be an objective voice. They may hear the story after you tell it to them, and they may say, "You know, I don't think they've actually done anything wrong." Right? Just because we're hurt by someone doesn't mean they've actually sinned against us. It may be more of our own sensitivities, our own issues that we have to deal with. Or they may say, "The way you're approaching that person, it's not a good plan, right? We need to talk to this person in a different way, come up with a different way to have this conversation." So they can be an objective voice. And if they decide with you that, yes, this is something that they've done wrong, they have sinned against you, well, Jesus says, they can be a witness. They can confirm your words. They can say to the person, "You know, you did do something wrong. You do need to reconcile." Now, here's where it gets interesting. Because Jesus says, if this doesn't work, well, there's the next step. And this is a step that we just don't do very often. And I understand why. But this is what our Lord says. He says, if the member refuses to listen to them, this is that smaller group, tell it to the church. The entire church. Put it in the bulletin. Right? Preach it from the pulpit. John sinned against David and John won't reconcile. Seems extreme. It would make us uncomfortable, obviously. But here's what we have to see. In Jesus' mind, reconciliation in the church is so important, is so critical, that if you can't get it done with this small group, you've got to get the help of the church. This is reconciliation, the refusal to reconcile, is not something you can ignore as the body of Christ. You have to do everything you can, even if that means involving everybody, to get this reconciliation to happen. It's that important. Now he goes on, and he says, if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. So you've gone to the person privately, no response. You take the small group, no response. The whole church gets involved, no response. You do all this, and that person is refusing to reconcile. Then Jesus says, they are not my disciple. They have proven that by their actions. So treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector. So what's going on here? A couple things to see. First, this is consistent with everything we've said. To be a Christian is to be caught up in what God is doing, restoring the world to fellowship with Him and fellowship with one another in Christ. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And so if someone is choosing not to do this, then Jesus says they are choosing not to be my disciple. And that's the language of tax collector and Gentile. These are individuals outside of the community. So this is not some sort of punitive measure where you're kicking someone out of the church. Rather, it's just an honest statement about that person's relationship to the church and to Jesus. They have chosen. It's their choice, according to Jesus, to stand outside the community. And Jesus is just saying, be honest about it. Now, there's one other point, important point about this verse. When Jesus says, treat them as a Gentile and a tax collector, we tend to think, well, that means treat them badly. Have nothing to do with them. But that's not what he's saying. You know, think about who Jesus hung out with. Who was Jesus always with? Who was he always talking to? Who was he always eating with? Who was he always seeking to draw into relationship with him? And the answer is tax collectors and Gentiles. And so when Jesus says treat them like this, he's saying be honest about where they stand, but always stand with them, right? Always be extending that hand of fellowship, extending that hand of forgiveness and reconciliation. Always seek to restore the brokenness that is there. Always. You know, this idea, it becomes very clear in the verse that follows our passage. We read from chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Verse 21, which we did not read, which probably should be included in the passage. But in that verse, Peter asks a question. He's been listening to this teaching, and he wants to make sure he's got it right. And so he says to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? How often and for how long do I seek reconciliation? As many as seven times? And Jesus says famously, not seven times, Peter, but 70 times seven. In other words, as long as it takes. Never seek, never give up seeking this reconciliation. You know, this passage about confronting conflict in the church, reconciling with one another, it's obviously hard to apply, especially at the church level, although maybe Malone's going to make some changes after this sermon. We'll see. But even at the individual level, it's hard. And one reason is because when Matthew wrote his gospel, you would never have more than one church in a city or a community. And so that means if you had a conflict in your church, you had to reconcile, right? You could not avoid this. But now, when someone hurts you or you hurt them, as Jesus says, a sin against them, and you don't want to reconcile, it's just too uncomfortable, well, you just go down the street. You transfer your membership to the cathedral. You become a Presbyterian. The people at First Pres seem pretty nice. You go there. So we can easily skirt around this teaching. But you know, that the fact that it's easy to avoid, it doesn't change what God is doing in his world. And it doesn't change what we need to do if we want to be part of what God is doing. We have to seek reconciliation with one another. And that means being honest when reconciliation isn't there. It means speaking the truth to one another in love. And it means forgiving and trying to come back together. And so I challenge you, and I know this is a hard challenge for some, but we do this for the sake of the church. We do it for the sake of our own souls. I challenge you, you know, if someone in this church family has sinned against you, betrayed you last week, last year, 20 years ago, if they have hurt you and that relationship is broken, then love them enough to seek reconciliation. Do that, as Jesus tells us, and be part of the larger work of God. Amen.